Webster's Dictionary says to give up food, especially for a religious reason. The Holman's Bible Dictionary says refraining from food for the object of seeking God. That's what fasting, biblical fasting, is all about. Now, I told y'all the story last week, and I'm going to tell it again because I just like hearing it myself anyway. About the story about the two lumberjacks, y'all remember? The one was younger, the older man, he was well known for being fast, cutting down trees, you know, with axe and everything. So the younger guy, he got pretty good, and he thought he could put the whooping on him, so he challenged him. That he bet he could cut down more trees in one day than the older lumberjack could. So they said, okay. Well, they got with it. The younger lumberjack, he cut down trees all day long. He didn't take a break, just as fast as he could go. And he just knew he had the older guy whooped. Because the older guy, he would chop for an hour, and then he would sit down and take a 15-minute break. So he just knew he had chopped down more trees. Well, by the end of the day come, and they counted up the trees of which what each had done, and actually the older guy won, and the younger guy couldn't understand. He said, how did you chop down more trees than me? He said, I went nonstop all day, and after every hour, you would take a 15-minute break. And he told him, he said, well, what you don't know is, every time I took a 15-minute break, I sharpened my saw. That is a very good example of fasting to me. Another one is kind of like, I mean, most all women in here would know, I said most, and I'm talking to Facebook too and all over the world, so it's not just us, about cleaning an oven. I know that's supposed to be oven, but I say oven, so y'all get the idea, right? It's kind of like cleaning an oven, you know. Over a period of time, you know, things get spilt in there, they bubble over, just fumes and things, you know, it gets all in there. That's kind of the way we are. While we come in contact with contaminants, and I'm not talking about necessarily toxins, I'm talking about spirits, evil spirits, all different kinds of junk, wickedness, evil, all different kinds of junk every day of our lives. So when you do fasting, biblical fasting, it's kind of like when you clean your oven. You spray that stuff on there and you let it set and you go wipe it out. Because biblical fasting is turning away from everything of this world, even the physical food that we need to survive. Our bodies are made that way. And you're turning all of your affection and all your focus toward God. Now, I did not say, I said last week that fasting from Facebook is not a biblical fast, but it's a wonderful thing to fast. While you're fasting, you should be doing away with Facebook. Why? Because it's supposed to be turning away from the things of this world unto God. You shouldn't just sit and talk on the telephone all day long. Spend as much time with just you and God alone as what you possibly can. I understand, and God does too. We all have work to do, places we got to go, and different things. So that might not be possible just for you to be a hermit for 2 weeks in your house, you know. But you get the point of what I'm saying, right? I did not say that if you watch TV, you're not on a biblical fast. I did not say that. See, sometimes you say things and people get a wrong idea. Can you fast and do Facebook? Sure, you can do anything you choose to. Can you fast and watch TV? Sure, you can. That's not the point of it. The point of it is to get all that junk out of you. But if that's what you choose to do, that's what you choose to do. I did not say that if you drank a Coke, that you're not fasting. I did not say that. I did not say that if you eat syrups. Some people eat a pack of syrups an hour while they're fasting. You know, I don't suggest that. One thing, you know, they're usually loaded with sugar, and even those that are sugar-free, you get the stomach juices going. You understand digestion starts as soon as it gets in your mouth? So you get all that stuff kicked up and going, waiting on food to come, and it ain't coming. Right. So it can be very painful for you. But I did not say if you do those things, you're not fasting. You can alter and choose any kind of fast that you choose. And God will honor whatever you do if you do it with right motives. Now, the greater the sacrifice, the greater the reward. The greater the sacrifice that you give unto the Lord and turn it unto Him, the greater He will honor you with what you asked. Now, we talked about last week, because we established whether or not Christians today are supposed to fast, because you got a bunch of them, they don't know nothing about fasting, and those that have even heard about it, they think that was only for Jesus and His disciples. But we read the scriptures last week in Mark 2:18-20, we're not going to go back and look at them, where they asked Jesus, how come John's disciples fasted, but they didn't, and the Pharisees and all them fasted. He said, well, they can't fast while the bridegroom's with them. Right? He said, but the bridegroom's going to be taken away. He said, then they will fast. Well, if they was his disciples then, we are his disciples today. If they was supposed to fast when Jesus was taken away, we're supposed to do the same thing if we're the same people, right?
Right.
Now, all religions have fasting and praying in them. But they don't fast and pray to the one true God. That's our God. We looked at Matthew 6, 16 through 18, and he talks about reward and he talked about motives. He talked about how the hypocrites don't be like them. When they fast, they want everybody to know it. Even if they don't tell them. You know, my, you look so sad, so somber. You're just moaning and groaning, hoping somebody will ask you, what's the matter with you? Oh, I'm fasting. The Bible says you have your reward. That's all you're going to get. But he says if you'll do it in secret, and it's not that you can't ever tell anybody. I appreciate it when Scotty's going to go on a fast if he lets me know. So I don't cook a five-course meal for myself. Number one, I don't need it, and I don't want to do the work. I'll eat me a sandwich or something, you know. So, I mean, and then there's corporate fasting in the Bible. I think it was in Joel where they called a corporate fast, where the whole body fasted there for different reasons. Excuse me. And you can fast for anything that you choose. Just make sure the motive's right. The scripture I found where they fasted for guidance. They found it for protection. They fasted for a lot of different reasons. So you can fast for all different kinds of reasons. They fasted for humbling themselves. So in Matthew 6, 16 through 18, your motives have got to be right and you shall receive a reward. Never fast and pray without faith. Don't ever do anything without faith. If you're going to eat a hamburger, eat it in faith. And if you can't, probably best if you don't eat it. So never do it without faith. Now in Luke 18, 9 through 14, we see that fast prayer and fasting must be done with humility and humbling oneself. We read over there in Psalm 35, 13, how David humbled himself with fasting and prayer. In 1 Kings 21, 27 through 29, King Ahab, and we know he was not a good king, he did wrong in the sight of the Lord, and judgment was coming. The prophet went over there and told him the judgment was coming. He sat in sackcloth and ashes with repentance and fasting and humbled himself, and God turned. And he said, okay, I'm not going to bring it to you. He said, I'll bring it to a later generation. Now, we want to pick this up. That's just for a little recap. I got 45 minutes, and I feel like today's going to be our last one on this subject. Because I think by the time we get done today, everybody ought to have a pretty good general idea. And can start off on this and do your own homework. Let's look at James 4, 1 through 10. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Now, we talked about last week, I said, if you're having a problem, say you're having a problem with food. I can remember, I told y'all I got the worst headache I ever had in my life, throwing up in almost convulsions. One time I was a heavy sweet eater. And I went on a fast. But I can remember, I was reminded this morning, y'all done heard the brownie story. The brownies wasn't all in thing, though. I can remember standing at my kitchen counter, and y'all know them packs like this big of Reese cups? They're about this long, but they're individual packs. I don't know, 10, 12, I don't know how many's in that. I honestly can remember standing beside my kitchen sink, and I'm opening that entire pack and eating that and crying and saying, God help me, I don't want to eat these. And I'm eating them at the same time. So don't think, I mean, you wouldn't think sugar, that can be a major, major thing. You know, a lot of Christians, we don't smoke, dip, chew, drink, hang around with nobody that does. But doggone, we can't eat the house down. That's not good. So fasting can help with your appetites and your lust. Lust is just simply strong desires. You can lust for porn. You can lust for cookies. You can lust for anything. You can have a strong desire for anything. And if you're having strong desires that you can't seem to control, that seems to be out of your control, it's a good time to fast. Because it helps to bring down those lusts. The Bible talks about that there are those whose stomach or whose belly is their God. He's not just necessarily talking about just your stomach, what you eat. He's talking about their appetites, their lust, their strong desires. So fasting and prayer, a time of that can help you to bring those down, to crucify those to where you can get control over them. Because you are not your body. You are a spirit. Now you have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, but you drive. I like to think of it like driving a car. I'm in this body, but this body's not me. And according to scripture, this body is not supposed to control me in any area of my life. I mean, for just for box toting, Y'all remember in the book of Acts, they're going to deliver food to the widows and all that. They had a big uproar about that. They said, choose you out 7 men. What was the qualifications for the box toting? Full of the Holy Ghost. Right? That means they're, my Bible says they have 7 men that are controlled by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. God wants to control us, but listen, the devil does too. Why? Because if he doesn't have a body, he doesn't have a voice, and he's illegal here in the earth. That's why when you leave your body, you got to go. You can't stay. You're here illegally.
Right.
Now, I don't know how we got off on all that, but anyway, I got somewhere else to go. Here in James 4, oh yeah, I remember now. He says, verse 2, he says, you lust and have not, that means strong desire. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss, or you could say with wrong motives or wrong intentions, that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? He says, but he giveth more grace. He says, wherefore he saith, God resist the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh or near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He says, be afflicted. This is one of the definitions of fasting. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Do you notice what all that said? He talks about lust. He talks about strong desires. He's talking about when you're praying and you ask for things. You don't ask for them with right motives. It's just to spend them on your own lust. See, I think God is trying to take us as individuals and a body all over the world from, I got a parking space, hallelujah, God gave me the parking space up front. And I'm not trying to belittle that or say God don't do that. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But he wants to take us from thinking about our stuff, praying about our stuff, our little needs and wants and desires and all this stuff all the time, to a world vision. Why? He has a world vision. But see, I can't do that if I stay distracted down here with all my little nitpicky stuff. Didn't God say he would supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Then why do I got to spend so much time praying about it? I don't. If I truly believe that, I don't have to be praying about him all the time. He said he would do it. Now I just need to release my faith that he will. And we're done with that. I can move on to something else spending my time on. Right? You look very pretty, Dave. Now, let's look at Isaiah 58, since we're on motives here. I'm telling you, we ought to be so full of God, and I'm talking about myself, that somebody say just the name of Jesus in a right spirit, and we're like, woo, glow. Something just hits you in the top of your head. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You don't do your homework this week. Don't even raise your hand. Because see, we have a tendency to, we go to church, we hear the message, we believe, woo, that's God. I know prosperity's for me. I know that was God. But then when we go out and we try to do it, but then when we go into church and we hear something about praying and fasting, like, yeah, well, I'm not getting around to that. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Johnny's smiling. Do you understand what they heard, not the message being preached, not mixed with faith? Do you realize if you got faith, you got some action, you're doing something? You're doing what you heard? So when you hear it and you don't do it, you don't mix no faith with it. Therefore, it does not profit you. And you can sit here thinking you're okay all day long. Talked about last week, if you're having a hard time when the word comes forth and it doesn't penetrate you, if the needs of other people doesn't bother you, if somebody's leg could be half cut off and all your prayer is, I touch them lower, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with me if I'm like that, Johnny. My heart should break for whatever God's heart breaks for. And if it doesn't, then I have a problem. Then that means I'm going to have to do something about it. See, God is not holding back from his people. You can have, I can have as much of God as I want. But he's not a forcer, so guess what? What did John say? Y'all remember? He said, talking about Jesus, he said, he must increase, I must decrease. Or I must decrease and he must increase. It's the same thing in me and you. The more I get rid of self, the more I get rid of flesh, the more I get rid of what I want, what I think I need, all this stuff, do you understand? That is the only way to pour this water out, is the only way that you can fill it with something else. And that is exactly what prayer and fasting and humbling ourselves will do. Now here over in Isaiah 58, I'm going to read this in the Amplified, so if you don't have one, maybe just listen. It breaks it down a little better for me. He says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgression, and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek, inquire for, and require me daily, and delight externally, that means outwardly, to know my ways. You can still be coming to the house of the Lord, and you're just going through religious motions. If it's like that for you, you need a time of prayer and fasting so you can get hungry for God. He says, my ways, he said, as if they were in reality a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. He says, they ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God in visible ways. He says, why have we fasted, they say, and you do not see it? Why have we afflicted ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? He said, now notice they're fasting, but their motives are not right. They're just going through a bunch of religious stuff. He goes on and he says, behold, O Israel, on the day of your fast, when you should be grieving for your sins. If you can sin and it doesn't bother you, there's something wrong with you if you're a Christian. That is one of the things with me when I got saved. I still did. So if you may be mad, I would still cuss you out. I would still throw things or whatever. But the difference was it bothered me. Yeah. Now I don't want to do that. But because that's got to now be trained out of me. Do you understand? Over a period of time. But it would bother me when I would do those things. So if I can be ugly and all different kinds of stuff that's not pleasing to the Lord and it doesn't bother me, there's something wrong. He says, when you should be grieving for your sins, you find profit in your business. And instead of stopping all work, as the law implies, now we know we don't do this under the law, you and your workmen should do, you extort from your hired servants a full amount of labor. The facts are that you fast only for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Fasting as you do today will not cause your voice to be heard on high. Now notice that. If he's telling them the way you're fasting is not going to cause your voice to be heard on high, then that tells me that if I do it right, it will cause heaven to hear my voice. It's the reward of fasting and praying. He goes on, he says, verse 5, is such a fast as yours what I have chosen, a day for a man to humble himself with sorrow in his soul? Is true fasting merely mechanical? No. If you have certain days a week that you fast or whatever, I know, Scotty, y'all heard the story, you know, he might fast every Thursday, and anytime he gets to feeling like that, that is mechanical, that his heart is not in it or what, he'll switch the days, trick the flesh, switch the days or something like that. So it shouldn't be just merely mechanical. It's a heart thing. He says, is it only to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him to indicate a condition of heart that he does not have? Will you call this a fast and acceptable day to the Lord? Don't just fast for things you want. That's not, you understand there's a lot of selfishness in that. God's not interested in making my life all comfortable and peachy and everything that I want. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He's interested in me, my life reflecting his will and me doing his will here in the earth, even if it causes me pain and hardship. Right? Let's see, where do we get to? Is it 7? No, 6? He says, rather, is not this the fast that I have chosen? He says, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke. Now, that's not only on yourself, but on those that you come in contact with. Do you understand? Our words need to carry weight in the spirit. Do y'all even know what I'm talking about? Jesus' words carry so much weight, demons tremble. Right? Just like, y'all remember that guy that ran out of the tombs after him? Ran out to him? He didn't say nothing to him. They knew who he was. But when Jesus would preach and he would teach at different places, they would marvel and say, what authority this man's words have. Where did he get this authority? See, do you understand there's times when we need to fast and pray when our words are not being effective, when we're speaking to mountains and they're not moving? Right? Because ain't our words, ain't we supposed to be able to speak to mountains and they move?
Right.
Yeah, Jesus said we would. I have the scripture a little bit later on. So there's some times that we need to pray and fast and humble ourselves and get in the word of God, because we've got built up unbelief just like the disciples. So that when we do speak to things, things happen. Things change. Our word, God didn't give us our words just to communicate. Do you understand? God doesn't use his words just to communicate. Go back to the book of Genesis. God used his words to create. God used his words to change atmospheres. Right? In the book of Genesis, the Bible says the earth was in darkness, without form and without void. What's he do? Snapped his fingers? No. He spoke. That wasn't for communication. Our words is not only supposed to be for communication. They're supposed to change things here in the earth. But if I'm so full of myself and so full of the world and junk, my words don't have very much power when they come out of my mouth. And usually I start saying a bunch of stuff I shouldn't be saying. But when I have a time of prayer and fasting, that's one of the first things that happens to me. That little mouth just shuts right up. It don't want to talk. I have to make myself, especially if I go over a day or whatever, I have to start making myself pray because I just don't want to talk. The church said amen.
Amen.
Let me help myself. Woo. Thank you, sister. Where are we at now? 7? Is not it to divide? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him and that you hide not yourself from the needs of your own flesh and blood? I was doing some fasting this week and everything. I got a phone call that somebody knows or whatever needed food, you know, and we had a bunch left. So I told him I'd come down here and put them some out. Well, I went in the house to go get my keys and everything to go. This verse came to me. He said, to deal your bread, is this not the fast that I've chosen? To deal your bread to the hungry. What's this mean? Things bother me that I can't just put it off on everybody. Now, I'm not saying don't be led. Don't hear the spirit of what I'm saying. So when this very verse came to my remembrance, so I thought, okay, God, I'm on a fast today. You're fasting. You're the type of fasting you're interested in. Deal my bread to the hungry, what I've got, this, that, that. So I went in there in the cabinet, and I got some cooking oil, and I got some stuff that I had. I had some extra stuff. I put them in some bags. I come down here. I put that food out there on the porch in those bags. Why? That's like I said, if people's got problems, and they hurt, and you're never affected by it, you need to fast and pray. Because he says, this is the kind of fast that I've chosen. He goes on, and I didn't say that for a pat on the back. I'm just trying to explain. He's telling us what kind of fast he chooses. It's not this other junk. He says, your own flesh and blood, verse 8. He says, then shall your light break forth like the morning. Are you depressed? If you're ever feeling depressed and oppressed and things, you need to fast and pray. He says, then after all of this, he says, then shall your light break forth in the morning. Right? Another scripture over in the New Testament, he says, if we follow him, we shall not walk in darkness. Right? Well, I can tell y'all are so excited. He goes on, he says, and your healing. Most of the time, what I find, and I'm not saying everybody, because you've always got exceptions. Most of the time, what I find, what most people want you to do, they ain't fasted, they ain't prayed, they ain't read their Bible, but they got a pain. They want to come up front, like the scripture says, and the elders of the church get you some oil and just slap it all over them, and they're healed. I can't always do that. But he says here that if we will fast and pray the way that he tells us to, he says our light will spring forth in the morning. He says in our healing, your restoration and the power of a new life shall spring forth speedily. That ain't got nothing to do with you and anybody else. That's with you and God. He says your righteousness, your rightness, your justice, and your right relationship with God shall go before you, conducting you to peace and prosperity. You want goodness? You want prosperity? He says you'll get it here. He says, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Ain't no devil going to slip up on you. No. Why? God's your rear guard. He says, then you shall call and the Lord will answer you. Oh, now your voice will be heard on high. See, they want to know how come God, we fasted and we prayed and we've done all this stuff. He said, and you've not heard and you've not took notice and you've not answered. And he tells them why. He says, because I didn't pick this kind of fast. This is not the way I choose. Then he tells us what he chooses. Then he says, then you shall call and the Lord will answer you. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. I don't know about y'all, but that is music to my ears. But God's going to say, here I am.
Amen.
He says, if you take away from your midst yokes of oppression wherever you find them, the finger pointed in scorn toward the oppressed or the godly, and every form of false, harsh, unjust, and wicked speaking. Ooh, that's a mouthful right there. And if you pour out that with which you sustain your own life for the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in darkness, and your obscurity and gloom become like the noonday. And the Lord shall guide you continually. Listen to the benefits of this right fasting. The Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy you in drought and in dry places and make strong your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. He says, and your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of buildings that have laid waste for many generations. Do you understand through prayer and fasting, some of our great ideas has come from the Lord? Some of the great inventions that God put them out there. He goes on and he says, and you shall be called repairer of the breach, restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from traveling unduly on the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath the spiritual delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor him and it, not going your own way or speaking or seeking or finding your own pleasure or speaking with your own idle words. He says, then shall you delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. That is a mouthful of awesome promises to God's people. Now, let's look at some of the fasts they did. We'll look at as many as we can, because like I said, I think this will be the last message on this subject. Now, I told you there's one that no food, no water. So if I let's look at one in Acts chapter 9. This is Paul. When he became Paul. Saul, when he became Paul. Acts chapter 9, let's see where I want to start, because, I mean, y'all can read whole chapters. I got 15, 14 minutes left. Let's see. All right, y'all remember the story, right? Saul was on his way to round up some more Christians and everything. The Lord Jesus appeared to him. He said, who are you, Lord? He got knocked off his horse and blinded by light. Y'all remember that story? Okay. This is where we pick it up. That's the story here. And we're going to pick it up in verse 8. It says, and Saul arose from the earth when he's getting back from being knocked off his horse. And when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. What that means is he was blinded by the light that he saw. And he, verse 9, and he was 3 days without sight. Now notice this, and neither did eat nor drink. So this is a fast with no eating and no drinking. It says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And he goes on and he tells him to go over there, verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard, and I've already heard about the man and all that. Let's see. Verse Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So we see in these verses here that Saul, when he became Saul, he fasted for 3 days and nights, no food, no water. Now another one that they did, we'll look at it in a minute, and that's going to be Esther and Mordecai. They fasted for, and their servants and all that, with them, the ones that was helping her and all that. 3 days, no food, no water. But we'll look at that in just a minute. Well, I guess we could go ahead and go to that since that one's the same thing. All right, let's go to Esther chapter 4. Now, I don't have time to read this whole chapter, the whole book. You do, so we're having to pick and choose for certain verses to point out things. Where is Esther? Before I get upset here.
Right after Nehemiah.
I think I'm going too fast on that
part. Four songs.
Oh my goodness. What, John?
The four songs. About the four songs.
I just read it this morning. All right, did I tell you chapter 4? All right, now to lead us up to what we're going to start in verse, I think it's going to be verse 9, 10, something like that. But anyway, to give a little background till we start reading the scriptures, what had happened was, now Esther, she had come to the king, and they had to soak in all this oils and ointments and all this other stuff and everything. And anyway, she got picked. Well, she was a Jew. Mordecai was her uncle. She was raised by her uncle, and he was a Jew. But then you had this man that worked for the king, Haman, and he hated the Jews. And he was going to do away with the Jews, but now the king didn't know anything about this. Well, it's come to Mordecai's attention, and he goes over and he talks to Esther. Now, let's see what happens. He's wanting Esther to go to the king and intervene on behalf of the Jews. Let's pick this up here in what I got wrote down. Let's read verse 11. It says, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Now Mordecai's wanting her to go before the king to save the Jews. And she's telling him here, I can't. There's a rule. If he don't call you or point that scepter to you, you can absolutely be killed. Right then and there, no questions asked. So she goes on here in verse 12. It says, and they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Now go over to Well, let's keep reading 17. It says, so Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther, this is after the fasting, put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor. Now she's having them fast for her for favor and for protection, that she don't get killed. And she needs favor with the king to come before him. And it says here she got it. That she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of his scepter. Then the story goes on. If y'all remember reading the story, it goes on. She tells the king, you know, I'm going to make this supper and all this. And then again, another supper and invite Haman and all that. And anyway, it all comes out what Haman had planned to do. And it ends, the story ends up that Haman got hung on the very gallows that he created for Mordecai to be hung. And Mordecai and all the Jews, they all got saved. Now, there, they did 3 days of prayer and fasting, no food, no water whatsoever, for protection and for favor. Don't you think we need some of that today?
Yes.
There's some places God wants you in, but there's so much of us left, and we need some fasting and prayer that we can get in some of those places. God had put her there for that reason. Now, I don't know if she'd ever got up before the king if they hadn't prayed and fasted. I don't know. It's in there for a reason. The Bible says all of this was written for our examples, right?
Right.
I got to hurry. Okay. That's two examples of fasting with no water, no food. Let's read this one. It's 2 Samuel 12. I want you to see something else. Because prayer and fasting is not a magic wand to get God to do whatever you want him to do. You better hear what I'm telling you. Sometimes just because you pray and fast, God's not going to change it. Now here in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse, we're going to start in verse 16. Now to lead up to this, y'all remember the story about David and Bathsheba? She was out there on the rooftop, you know, they had relations. He ended up killing her husband because she got pregnant. He's trying to cover it up and all this other stuff. And then once he's killed, he brings her into his harem. Y'all remember the story, right? What I'm talking about. Okay, well then Nathan the prophet comes to him and tells him the story about the one little ewe lamb and all that. David, he gets upset. He says, whoever this guy is, well, he should be killed. And Nathan looks at him and says, you're the man. Then David repents, right? Y'all remember that story. Okay, we're going to pick that up here in verse 16, I think it is, I want to start. Yeah, Nathan left in 15, verse 16. Well, let's read 15. Then Nathan, now listen, she got pregnant and she had that baby. That her and David's adultery, that baby was conceived. It goes on 15, it says, then Nathan departed to his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's widow bore to David, and he was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night repeatedly on the floor. His older house servants arose in the night and went to him to raise him up from the floor, but he would not. In other words, he wouldn't get up. Nor did he eat food with them. Now he drank water. Don't say anything about he didn't drink. So it says he did not eat food with them. And on the seventh day, the child died. David's servants feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he would not listen to our voices. Will he then harm himself if we tell him the child is dead? I'm sorry, I was reading that on the Amplified side. I wish y'all think, what in the world? Let's switch back over. Verse 19. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord. This is very, very important. And worshiped. When you don't get, when you do all you know to do, and God doesn't change things to the way you want them, you better continue to praise and you better continue to worship, because he's the last one you want to get your feelings hurt at. He's the last one you ever want to rebel against. The Bible says, look into the hills from where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord. So you don't ever want to get cross with him. And David didn't get what he asked for, what he was fasting and praying. He fasted and prayed here 7 days and worshiped. Then came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Now, this is a place where he prayed and he fasted. Evidently, he drank, but he did not eat no food for 7 days, but nothing changed. Now, some might would say, well, that's awful of God, you know, to let that baby die and not heal. Do you understand that was the best thing that could happen to that baby? The baby's with the Lord. There was nothing harmful done to the baby. The baby just left his body and he went to be with the Lord. But because of what they had done, do you realize sometimes people think because we're under grace and Jesus is here that we never suffer no judgment. But I have New Testament scripture that says that right now, judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And if it begins with us, he says, where were the sinner and those outside be? So we can still suffer judgment if we won't repent. Do you understand? I fully believe that's one reason why we're under the control and the things that's coming down from the top that's coming down to us today.
Amen.
I have scripture, and I know I'm not going to have time to read them, where they had a national day of prayer and fasting. It's on the calendars today. National days of prayer, national days of fasting. Well, it's found over in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 through 6. They fasted for protection. Do you understand that our FBI, our CIA, our government is not so good to stop everything that has tried to happen? We had a 9/11. How come we ain't having a bunch of 9/11s? All God has to do is remove his protection, and your enemies will swarm on you like gnats. Every time they got off into idol worship. Every time they disobeyed and wouldn't turn, and he gave them opportunity and wouldn't turn in the Old Testament, what happened? They went into slavery under their enemies. Where do you think you are today? You think Biden's your friend? You think the squad cares anything about your rights? Absolutely not. But now this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing because God does what? He chastens or corrects those that he loves. So guess what? Now what we need to do? Somebody ought to do something about that. I've heard that and heard that and heard that. Well, you are the somebody. I am the somebody. He says over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 4, 7:14, he says, if my people, that's the Christians, ain't it? He says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, he said, I will hear from heaven. Go over to Isaiah 58. What did he say? He said, when you do all this and you do it right, he said, then your voice will be heard on high, right? In heaven. He says, I'll hear from heaven. He said, and I'll turn it. He said, I'll heal their land. So guess what this time is for? I mean, I truly believe it with all my heart. The devil can't just come in and do what he wants. And that's because they stole the election. They couldn't do nothing. You understand? The Philistines couldn't take over the Jews. But when they messed up with God, I mean, they fled. Three of them would defeat 100 of them. So guess what? That's time for us to fast and pray and humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways. And you can think you're not wicked sometimes. All that means is twisted. We get the word wicker from the word wicked. It means the wicker furniture is twisted together. All that means some of my thoughts may be twisted. Some of my ways may be twisted. But he says, when I will humble myself. Well, how did David say he humbled himself? He said, with fasting and prayer, I afflicted my soul. So I guarantee you, if God's people will do what God said, God's people will have the results of what God said they would have. Why? He watches over his word to perform it. His word will not. He says any man that puts his trust in him, he says he will never be dismayed or put to shame. Ever. But now how many of us care enough to do some fasting and praying? I'm not looking for no hands. I had to sit on my back porch last night and tell God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God, I have not prayed for our leaders as I should. And I'm not talking about Lord, kill them. It's not the kind of praying he's talking about. I have prayed for them, but I was seeing last night and studying and different things like that and Lord shedding light, I have not as I should. And I definitely have not went on a fast for this nation for God to turn things around. Most of my prayer and fasting is for me. To help me. to help me act better, to help me think better, to help me get more of my money, to help me get what I want, to help me and my family, my four and no more. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I know I got the wrong bunch in here today. And the Facebook man said, hallelujah, because the church don't. Right? And I don't think God's getting on to us. Not at all. If God is getting on to us, he's loving us and he's helping us. Because you know what? Without him, I don't see right, Shannon. I can't see it. But when he sheds light, I can see it very plainly. Even though I'm the one right in the middle of it. And do you realize that's God's mercy? That's God's goodness? If he didn't love me just like some people do their kids, I'd just let them go. Just let them go. Whatever y'all want to do, go play in the road. I don't care. Just whatever y'all want to do. That's not loving your kids. If you love your kids, you'll part their hair and blister their tail sometimes.
Amen.
Why? Keep them from harm. Right? We don't let you play in the street because cars are coming. Big trucks out there make you a splat on the road. God does the same thing to us. Now, like I said, I believe this will be the last one on this, but I think we've said enough that you can know that it is for his disciples, which is us, to do today. And start your own study, you know, because there is way, way more. I even got way, way more notes than what I could get out this morning, but I'm already a little bit over time. And just like, we didn't even get to the Daniel fast, did we? But anyway, like Danny brought it up last week. When you look that one up, he says, for 21 days, he did not eat no pleasant bread. So when you look that word pleasant up, it means delightsome and all of that. In other words, the stuff he liked, he ate vegetables. And he says that he didn't drink no wine, so he drank water. But during this 21 days, there was a battle going on, and it's going on right now. Whatever you see in the earth started in the heavens. You realize the devil's in the third one? I mean, in the one above us for all that's going on today. Anyway, he prayed and he fasted just vegetables for 21 days, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And he told him, he said, Daniel, he said, I came at your first words. The very second Daniel opened his mouth and began to pray, the angel says, I heard you and I came for your words. He says, but the prince of Persia, he hindered me. You realize there's principalities and powers out here in the heavenlies that don't want your answered prayer. They don't want the will of God being done. And sometimes you might have to do a little extra. But then the story goes on. He says, but the prince of Persia hindered me. And he's talking about angels and demons and everything. He says, but Michael, how many knows Michael is an archangel and he is the warring angel? You don't mess with him. He trumps off. And he says that Michael came and helped him. But he noticed that he said, but I started at the very mention of your words. Sometimes you may not receive the things that you're praying and fasting for right then. Don't lose faith. Don't quit. Don't give up. Sometimes you don't see or feel any results till after you get done. I've got to stop. Does anybody have any questions or anything? And that's a good one. If you're a diabetic or you have to take medicine with some kind of food, you know, and like Danny was talking about, you can believe God if you feel that something on the inside.